In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way. It's good to see you all today. We have a couple of things that just to announce one and only thing. Obviously, this is the Thanksgiving Day Mass. We will not have Mass tomorrow here in Santa Rosa, but if you wish to follow us all the way down to Happy Village of Fort Sumner with Fabian and I, you're more than welcome to do so. Maybe you want to go with your godfather or not, if that's all right. He'll sweep you down, bring you back, whatever it is that he's going to do. It'll be a good time. But tomorrow's Mass is down there. Let's see, is that the only thing that I had to announce? Oh, and just like I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, this Sunday, I have something really exciting to announce to you about what happens tomorrow, but I can't tell you until then, because it's possible that the word will get out until then. So please keep my family in prayer for tomorrow. It's going to be great, but just stay with bated breath until I get to share with you tidings of great joy to begin our season of Advent on Sunday. I want to begin by sharing with you a little conversation I had with somebody who will go unnamed, earlier this week. I won't even say the day so nobody can figure out maybe who was visiting with Father on a particular day or gave him a phone call. But there was somebody who called me up and spoke to me and said, "Father, set me straight for this. Thanksgiving Day, you're having Mass. Is that a holy day of obligation? If I miss that, am I going to be in a state of mortal sin? Do I have to confess that?" Have you ever asked a priest that before? Wanting to know whether it's a holy day of obligation or whether it's not. Is it a Mass that I absolutely have to be at under a pain of sin, or is it not? And what I had to say to him is, absolutely, it's not a holy day of obligation. A Thanksgiving Day Mass is only a Mass for people to come to if they're thankful to God. That's it. And so what do we know about those of you who are here? Each of you, obviously, you don't have to be here. If somebody lured you here under false pretenses, I'm sorry to tell you right now, but it's not a holy day of obligation. But if you're here, I know something about you, is that you're thankful. That there's something of gratitude that has gone on in your life that has driven you here to Mass, which is where we give greatest thanks. To whom? Who do we give thanks to? That's right. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God, and that's the most important thing. That's why every reading speaks about the necessity for giving thanks, and what the result of giving thanks is, which is not a cure, because the cure was effected for that poor leper long before he even realized it and before he gave thanks. But what was the result of him giving thanks? Salvation. Salvation was the result of his giving thanks. What is gratitude? When you look it up, you can find gratitude is actually a virtue. Did you know that? It's a virtue. It's something that makes you more manly. It makes you more into the human person that God has designed you to be. That great theologian John Hardin, he boils it down this way, taking what St. Thomas Aquinas gave, but just making it a little bit more reachable. He says that gratitude is the virtue by which a person acknowledges interiorly and exteriorly the gifts received and seeks to make at least some return for whatever that gift was given to them. That's in essence what gratitude is. Essentially, gratitude then consists of an interior disposition, an interior attitude that goes on to you, meaning a thankful heart that we have. But when it's genuine, it tries somehow to express in words and deeds what's going on within the heart of that person. That's what our gratitude does, and it therefore consists of three acts. First, which would be the person has to acknowledge that a gift was given in the first place. Secondly, that they have to have an appreciation for that gift which is given that needs to be expressed. And then thirdly, as far as possible, that person has to make some sort of return for what has been freely given without obligation on the part of the donor. Those are the three acts that it has to be. You have to recognize that you've been given a gift. Then you have to actually express that appreciation, realizing that that person who gave it to you was under no obligation to give it to you. That's what it's all about. That's what gratitude really is. And that's what we should be focused on, particularly on this day, on Thanksgiving Day. In fact, having gratitude leads you and I to lead a happier life. Grateful people live life believing that they're truly fortunate. Are you thankful? Are you grateful for things that have given you? If you are, then you recognize that your life is a blessed life, that your life ultimately leads toward happiness, that anything that you receive is not something that you absolutely deserve, but something that you can gratefully go forward into life. It's thankfulness. It not only makes a human being happier within their lives, but it also makes a human person all the more kind to other people. Because almost every good flows from a person being grateful. But that means that the opposite is true also. That Almost everything bad within the world, within human experience, flows from ingratitude. It flows from somebody who doesn't recognize that a gift was given, doesn't recognize that they have a need to express an appreciation, doesn't recognize that somebody doesn't owe them something. And so because of that, it means that it's nearly impossible for ungrateful people to be happy. And even more so, it's nearly impossible for ungrateful people to be good. Why would I say that? Here's the reason why. Two principal reasons. First, it's nearly impossible for ungrateful people to be happy or good because a lack of gratitude creates within a person a victim mentality. A mentality where they think that they are put upon by other people. Ingratitude is that very vice whereby a person blames their family. They blame their historical maltreatment to their group or anything outside of themselves for all evil that exists. They see any real or even any perceived deficiency within themselves, within others, within the state of the world as someone or something else's fault, which is outside of them. So it happens that when we see ourselves as merely being victims, then what happens is that every lashing out that we do, every strike that we do against somebody else, every ill comment that we express, it's obviously excusable because I'm somebody who's been put upon. I'm a victim. When we see ourselves in that way, we see if I do a wrong, well then if I did that, it's just because I'm evening the score. It's because I'm making sure that my presence is felt so that I won't be put upon in the same way again. And this may be the single biggest reason why people hurt other people. Because whether it's hurtful comments or mass murder, it all has the root at it that the person sees themselves as a victim and they can always excuse whatever bad behavior it is that they do within the world. That's the first reason. But a second reason why it's nearly impossible for ungrateful people to be happy or even good is because ungrateful people have one characteristic above all. It's that they're angry people. If you find somebody who's angry, like an angry person, not just angry in a moment, but has an overall attitude of anger, then there are people who are always ungrateful. Angry people, what they do is that they fall into that same vice that I spoke about as lashing out at others. So many people live with a sense of entitlement, and that's what drives their anger that's going in. They believe that they're owed something that they've not earned. And the more that we feel that life or that the government or that other people owe us things, what happens within ourselves, it builds up a resentment within us. And so the angrier you will get when you don't receive what it is that you think you're owed. The more that you feel that somebody owes you something, the more bad you'll be willing to do in order to get that thing that you think that you yourself are owed. And even more, the more justified you will feel in lashing out and hurting others and making your presence felt within the world. And this anger, what it does is it eats you and I up on the inside. And so that anger consuming whatever goodness lies within us makes us less and less happy. So we are so much easily find out that when we teach an entitlement attitude that we're developing bad people by making people feel like they're owed. There's one man who I like to look at, particularly with whenever the question of happiness comes up or ingratitude or anything like that. I like to remember some of the things that I learned from a great radio commentator, a great Torah. So beginning first books of the Bible commentator, he's a Jew by the name of Dennis Prager. And he says this, a prescient quotation. He says that if I could make one wish, it would be that all people would have one singular quality. And that one quality would be gratitude. If you get one wish, it'd be that everybody would be grateful. He says that that's the source of all unhappiness. That's the source of all goodness, rather. The source, and the more good people, and the more happy people there are walking around within the world, the better, obviously, our world will be. That's why I want everybody to be grateful. And being grateful, it does. It begins to transform everything about ourselves. The saints speak about it too. Saint Teresa of Avila. I'll share with you a couple of quotes on gratitude from the saints. Saint Teresa of Avila, she says that in all created things, seek to understand the providence and the wisdom of God in bringing everything that happens to pass. And in all things, just give him thanks. So whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that's gone on in your life, there is an opportunity to give thanks. Why? Because God, who is the great giver of providence, somehow allowed it to happen. And when you and I wait long enough with whatever that thing is, we can begin to see that his plan unfolds, and somehow it always ends up being that it was for your good. Even if at first glance, or after long glance, it doesn't seem like it was for that. Saint Gianna Beretta Mola, this great patron saint of life, and the pro-life cause, she says that the secret of happiness is to live moment by moment and to thank God for whatever he's sending us every day in all of his goodness. Because everything is given to us by the goodness of God. One of Fabian's favorite saints is Blessed Solanus Casey. And Blessed Solanus Casey, he was just a poor, simple man who achieved the highest rank of being the person who gets to open the door so that people can go and visit the monastery. and tell those who are inside the monastery what these people outside the monastery wanted. He never rose any higher than that, and it was his great joy just to stay there. He has a simple quotation. He says, "Thank God ahead of time." And I think that's a really important thing to do. When you pray, when you turn to God, do you immediately put that petition before him and then to say, "Well, God, you haven't given it to me yet, but I'm going to go ahead and thank you right now." Why? You can do that when you realize that God is all good and all loving, and he does desire your good. And so if that is a reality that's going on within your life, well, then you can already, if you've already put the petition before him and you know he's a good God and you know he wants what's best for you, then immediately after you've made the request, you can already begin to thank him because he's already worked about the answering of that prayer, such as the confidence that you had. Solanus Casey is known for a great many miracles in his life. And every time he prayed for somebody, he always immediately would give thanks. And lastly, St. Jose Maria Escriva. When I write my articles for the paper, I almost always quote St. Jose Maria Escriva. What does he say? He says, "Get used to lifting up your heart to God in acts of thanksgiving many times a day because he gives you this and because he gives you that. Because give him thanks because you've been despised. Give him thanks because you haven't received what you need or because you have received what you've received. Thank him in everything. Because everything that comes from God, it's good." Those are good and wise words for you and I to recognize that no matter what, that the good Lord is desiring to give us something which is great. And so right now, just for a moment, to give you an example of what we should be doing, I'm thankful for you, each of you who are here. I'm thankful because the first moment when I walked into this church, all the other priests went away as after Lucy gave us this great talk long before I was your pastor. And when I asked the Lord if he'd love me, that he'd allow me to celebrate one Mass here in my life within this beautiful church that you had. Well, that prayer was answered 7 months later when Sister Anne called me. And it was done so far beyond another 5 months after that when the bishop said, "Well, I want to send you here to be their pastor." I'm thankful for you in so many ways. I'm thankful for you, Solomon, and the great grace of being able to see you here today and the great conversation we had last night. I'm thankful for you in the Romero family because you allowed me to baptize that lovely little girl who was there. Young Allison, who I hope will one day be St. Allison. Thankful for so many of you who are here who have helped me in so many difficulties. Thank you for the redheads, and thank you for all the attitude that you give me all the time, Katrina. I'm thankful, and I can just go one after another for all the thanks. I'm thankful for Fabian that he just doesn't give up on me, and he's thankful that I don't give up on him, though each of us deserve that at various moments. There's so many things that you and I have to be thankful for, and above all, what should we be thankful for? Even if everything else is going wrong within our lives, you and I can be thankful that every time we come to Mass, who shows up? Don't be thankful for Father. Be thankful because every time we show up to Mass, who shows up? That's right. God shows up. Every time. He shows up when I'm in the state of grace. He shows up when I'm not in the state of grace. He shows up when I'm tired, and he shows up when I'm full of energy. He shows up when I'm spiritually firing on all cylinders, and he also shows up when I can't even seem to get one piston to fire. He shows up no matter what is going on in my life or within the world. He always shows up at Mass. And so when you and I want to receive a touch from God, when you and I feel like everything else is going wrong within our lives, no matter what, all we have to do is walk through those doors, enter into here, we're in the presence of God. And whenever the Mass is celebrating, no matter what quality the priest may have or lack, who shows up every time? Jesus Christ. And it's because of him that you and I have an opportunity for access to a life which goes so much greater beyond this present state of woe and terror and sorrow and pain. What our Lord promises is that when we put our trust in him and when we just show up as his children with begging hands, that he's always willing to give. And so because of that, brothers and sisters, you and I always have reason to give thanks. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.